Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and Joseph Umar, executive director of Secure Free Society. This is the New World Report. We begin with breaking news. This is the Jerusalem Post reporting. Colombia arrests a Hezbollah financier. Mahdi Aqil Helbawi was arrested in Colombia on Saturday on suspicion, among other things, of, quote, illicit use of natural resources, end quote, the funds of which were reportedly used to finance Hezbollah, the Colombian Attorney General's office said on Saturday. This requires interpretation. Hezbollah alone is a challenge because of the threatened and actual war underway in the north of Israel. However, Hezbollah is also linked to something we just passed the anniversary remembering, the Amiya bombing of 1994. Fortunately, Joseph is here. He's traveling. He's in Buenos Aires. But we're looking very closely now at how this network has established itself all these decades and how it may be challenged by the present arrest. It may be challenged by new attention out of Israel, given the War of the North. Joseph, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. This is fresh information. Who is Helbawi and what place does he play in the network in South America? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So as Hezbollah is dropping rockets on Israel, as we speak, a lot of the money that's used to finance that war operation, to finance the rockets, to finance the Hezbollah members, to just basically escalate conflicts against Israel, comes from narco trafficking. Obviously, they get subsidies from Iran. Everyone knows that. But they get a lot of money from the illicit drug enterprise. So the individual that was arrested in Colombia over the weekend, a gentleman named Mahdi Aqil Helbawi, he's part of a clan that's in his name. It's the Aqil Rada clan. And this is a clan that's very well known to counterterrorism authorities in South America, especially here in Argentina, because his father, a gentleman named Amir Mohammed Aqil Rada, was suspected of being involved in the Amiya bombing in 1994, that big bombing in Buenos Aires that killed 85 people at a Jewish center here in Argentina. So ever since that bombing, that network has never gone away. Not only has it not gone away, it's actually gotten stronger, operating through the tri-border area of Argentina, Paraguay, Brazil, and also moving to another tri-border, which is a maritime tri-border between Panama, Colombia, Venezuela. That is a tri-border, fluvial tri-border, a maritime tri-border that uses the same kind of money laundering schemes that they use in the South American tri-border to launder illicit proceeds to be able to fund Hezbollah's operations worldwide. So this clan, not only were they involved in that terrorist operation, but they've been working in Latin America for decades. Last year, the Department of Treasury finally sanctioned senior members of this clan, including the father, the individual that was arrested. And this kicked off a bit of an operation by the Colombian police and authorities to dismantle this. So he's actually charged with four charges. It's interesting if we look at the charges. The aggravated money laundering, that's the big charge. Illicit enrichment, you know, basically using it for corruption. Forged documents, which is, there's always, big documents being used. But the fourth charge is interesting. It's exploitation of renewable natural resources. So what does that mean? One of the major operations that this clan has been involved in for decades is using the export of charcoal. So they export charcoal from Colombia and Panama to Lebanon and use that to launder the money, but they also use it to conceal cocaine. Charcoal is considered kind of like black cocaine because there's a chemical procedure that you use to dissolve the cocaine to make it turn it black and make conceal it with charcoal that allows you to move it without detection. The DEA is well aware of this technique. And they've been reported about it for many years. So the bottom line here is that the Colombian authorities just caught maybe not a big fish, but they caught the son of a big fish. And coincidentally, they caught him right on the Colombian-Venezuelan border in a town called Cucuta. So this is a big deal. This is a big deal. If I had to, John, we've talked about Hezbollah in Latin America a lot in the show. If I had to pin one clan, that's probably the most important clan when it comes to Hezbollah's narco-terrorist operations in Latin America, this is the clan, the Aquilorada clan. So the fact that they caught one, you know, the son, one prominent member of that clan, and at a time when Hezbollah is basically starting its war against Israel, I think is a golden opportunity. So hopefully this leads to additional arrests and obviously a conviction of this individual.
Ernesto, I'm curious about the Hezbollah presence in Brazil. Certainly they're operating in the tri-border region to the south. Are they seen when your time in the Foreign Office and right now, is Hezbollah operating openly or with caution in Brazil? How is it regarded by the Lula da Silva administration?
So, good evening, John. I think that they are less cautious now than they have been before, but they have had a open doors policy in Brazil, at least since the beginning of the first Lula term in back in 2003, and across most of this period. They have obviously made strong connections with Brazilian organized crime, especially with the largest Brazilian gang, the PCC. They are active in the tri-border with Paraguay and Argentina, but they are also active in the Amazon region and the borders with Colombia and Venezuela, of course. I was criticized for pointing that fact when I was a foreign minister. People called me crazy for talking about Hezbollah in the Amazon region, but they are there doing everything that Joseph has been describing and helping finance the worst sorts of terrorism and crime around the world through drug trafficking. So I think this is reality knocking at the door of many, many people who don't want to see the reality of what South America is now. Want to talk about, the diplomatic relations here and there. Don't want to see what Brazil is now. It's becoming a narco state because Hezbollah and their partners in Brazil, they are infiltrated in politics. They are running for office. They are subsidizing people to run for and to become public prosecutors, for example. They are infiltrating maybe judges. They are infiltrating the justice system. So this is a nightmare, but that people, I think, are waking up to that nightmare, if I may say so, in some respects. But it's not easy because it doesn't come in the media, so it doesn't come in the public consciousness, the amount of presence of Hezbollah in Brazil and the free hand that they enjoy under Lula. We had only basically 2 years to work against this, 2019 and 2020, then the pandemic, and then the turn of the Bolsonaro government in the second half. So we couldn't do, of course, everything that we wanted. But basically, we wanted to approach South American foreign policy basically as a anti-terror, anti-crime operation, and not just a bunch of niceties about diplomatic relations.
Ernesto, about the Lebanese, is there a large Lebanese community in Brazil in the diaspora?
Yes, very, very, very large, very large. Since the beginning of the 20th century, it's hard to say the correct amount, but it's between 8 and 10 million people of Lebanese descent in Brazil, larger than the Lebanon population itself. So originally, they were mostly Christians. Almost everyone were Christians in the original migration. Now we have a lot of Shia Lebanese people in Brazil. Okay, nothing against Shia per se, but of course it's a better, more active cauldron environment for Hezbollah operations than the original Christian Lebanese community. But in any way, there's lots of solidarity among that community, lots of ways of getting diluted in the community. So unfortunately, I think this is helping the terrorist operations, the force of the Lebanese community, and the way that not the leaders of the community, of course, but the way that the criminals can get invisible and blend into that community.
Joseph, you're familiar with the tri-border region. Are there Lebanese communities there in the diaspora? The reason I'm asking is there would be a natural simpatico with people from Lebanon today, and that would be indistinguishable from Hezbollah. It would be very easy to just stand there and not be seen. Is that part of the tri-border story?
No, absolutely. The tri-border is one of the historic destinations of Lebanese nationals that left the war, the civil war back in the 20th century. And you can even further back. I mean, there's when the Maronite Christians were fleeing the repression from the Ottoman Empire. So there's over a century of migration that exists in the tri-border area between Paraguay, Brazil, and Argentina. And over time, they have become, many of them have become very influential through business and through commerce and things like that. Hezbollah, you know, which is a more of a modern creation since 1982, understood that there was this big Lebanese community both in Brazil and in the tri-border area. And as mafias tend to do, they've tried to extort the diaspora. So they use the diaspora as a community to embed itself into these countries, pressuring and threatening and doing all the mafia style tactics to bully their way into the community. But the fact that most of Latin America was really, I don't want to say unaware, but they were not putting a priority on Hezbollah, as Ernesto mentioned, or they didn't consider it a relevant problem for their country. It kind of gave Hezbollah carte blanche to do what they want to do. And that's how the problem of the tri-border really begins, because Hezbollah, they call them Hezbollah supporters because they're not actual members of Hezbollah, but they're individuals that launder money, that provide services, that are couriers and do all kinds of support activities so that Hezbollah can use the tri-border area and now many parts of Latin America as a support theater for what they're doing in the Middle East. And among those support activities, probably the most prominent one is narco trafficking. That's what brings Hezbollah into the narco world and allows them to make a lot of money. And this really accelerates during the period of the sanctions. When Iran starts to get sanctioned around 2007 and 2008, they have obviously, it's not that they have less money, but they have less means of transferring the money over to Lebanon so that Hezbollah can get that support. And so Hezbollah turns to the narco enterprise and really starts to get a lot of money from there as well. So the story of Hezbollah's narco trafficking foray is one that has, you know, decades in the making, but I think it's more relevant today than ever because as Hezbollah is going to engage in a war, they're going to need more money. And where's that money going to come from? Well, undoubtedly, it's going to come from the tri-border area and other parts of Latin America where they historically have built the networks to benefit financially off of those illicit activities.
This is the New World Report with Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. Joseph speaks of narco-terrorism. We're headed to Mexico and then El Paso. Two major arrests. What do they mean? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.